Now, Brother Richard Guy, a substitute circuit overseer from the Peace River Congregation, will consider the last part of this symposium, Courage Weakeners versus Courage Strengtheners, Doubt versus Faith.
In the race for life, faith is like our heart and lungs. The stronger, the better. And doubt, what is doubt like? Well, let's take our Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 12 and we can see. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, it describes us as running in a race. But we're not alone. We have a great support team. There's Abel and Enoch and Noah, Abraham and Sarah, Moses, David, and many others, ones who have run the course of faithfulness, are running with us. We just want to keep up with them. Hebrews 12, verse 1, it reads, "So then, because we have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also throw off every weight and the sin that easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." How can we run with endurance? We have to throw off every weight, as they did, and the sin that easily entangles us. What is this sin? It's lack of faith. It's doubt. Trying to run the race for life while harboring doubts is like trying to run a marathon wearing a long kitchen apron, tripping us. Doubts are like that. Doubts, they really restrict our courage. They hinder our worship. And they could cause us to lose out in the race for life. So why not get rid of doubt? Just throw it off like an apron. Because it's not that easy. It's the sin that easily entangles us. No one is without sin. So no one is immune to doubt. And that goes for even experienced faithful servants of Jehovah. The Apostle Paul here, by using the word us, may have been admitting to his own tendency to momentary weaknesses of faith. And think of the Apostle Peter. He believed he could walk on water when Jesus called him. He stepped out of the boat. No one else did. That's strong faith. But when he became fearful and started to sink, what did Jesus say? "You with little faith, why did you give way to doubt?" It's almost like a scale. With faith on one side and doubt on the other, we must keep adding to our faith, or the scale will tip and we give way to doubt. Building faith for us, it's a lifelong project. But to finish the race for life, to win this race for life, we must finish it. To finish it, we need courage. We need the courage to endure hardships. We need the courage to preach boldly. We'll get that courage when we strengthen our faith. And when we strengthen our faith, we can throw off doubt. If we turn to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, this relationship between faith and courage is made clear. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. It reads, "Moreover, without faith, it is impossible to please God well. For whoever approaches God must believe that he is, and that he becomes the rewarder of those earnestly seeking him." So you notice the faith that pleases God, it involves two aspects. First, we must believe that Jehovah is real. And it's obvious that this would be very important. But do we realize how important the second aspect is? We must believe Jehovah is the rewarder. Why does Jehovah want us to view him this way? It's because it's the truth. Jehovah is a God of love. He is a God of justice. And he rewards those that he loves and those that love him. So he had it written in the Bible. He wants us to be sure of this. He wants us to believe this like we believe he exists. Because he knows that when we face trials, this will give us courage. Let's take our Bibles, and if we turn to Psalm 27, We can see how this is so from some of the hardships that David faced. Psalm 27. It seemed that David had at times more enemies than friends. In Psalm 27, verse 6, he said, "My enemies surround me." And then in verse 12, "False witnesses have risen up against me." Well, David, he did the right thing. He prayed to Jehovah. But he might not have received an immediate answer. Notice verses 7 through 9. David says, "Hear me, O Jehovah, when I cry out. Show me favor and answer me. Speaking for you, my heart has said, seek to find my face. Your face, O Jehovah, I will seek to find. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in your anger. You are my helper. Do not forsake me or leave me, my God of salvation." You can feel David's stress in his words. Do not leave me. Do not forsake me. These problems that David was facing at that time were not disappearing. And so he was feeling the pressure. How was he able to endure? Well, he knew something. Notice his confidence in verse 10. "Even if my own father and mother abandon me, Jehovah himself will take me in." There is no evidence from the Bible that David's parents ever forsake him. But he was making a point. Even in our worst case scenario, even if everything is going wrong and everyone seems to be turning against us, Jehovah never will. He will never leave us. And that gives us the courage to face hardships. Likewise, if we turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16, to preach boldly in the face of opposition takes courage. Opposers may dismiss the preaching work as unimportant, but can they find a scripture that supports that? No. That would be contradicting scripture. 1 Timothy 4, verse 16, it reads, "Pay constant attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, for by doing this, you will save both yourself and those who listen to you." The preaching work saves lives. It saves our life, it saves their lives. But the key is we need to persevere in it. We could think of it like a course of antibiotics. One pill is not a cure. Half the pills is not a cure either. We must follow the full course prescribed. And it's the same way with the preaching work. It's good medicine. It's life-saving medicine. We can just feel the complete cure for ourselves and for others. But we must persevere in it until it is done. But that takes strong faith. And it's never been one strong faith, always strong faith. Just as a storm distracted Peter and he started to sink, faith can weaken quickly if we focus on the wrong things. So we need to analyze whether our faith is growing stronger or weaker. The September 15th, 2015 Watchtower had five questions that we could use to examine ourselves. That's the September 15th, 2015 Watchtower. Those questions are, do God's promises seem less real to me now than they once did? Am I as diligent in God's service as I once was? Do I struggle to forgive personal offenses? Do I chafe at scriptural counsel? And do I murmur against appointed brothers in the congregation? We shouldn't be surprised if a self-examination exposes some weaknesses of faith, because it's the sin that easily entangles us. An important lesson we learn from Peter's experience, though, is what he did after his faith wavered. Of course, he did get wet, but then he refocused and he recovered. And we can do the same. Rather than drowning a doubt, we can turn it around and drown our doubts. And that same Watchtower had five things that we can do. And the beautiful thing is that these are not difficult things for us. The first thing is pray. We want more faith. We want a stronger faith. We can pray to Jehovah, ask for His Holy Spirit, since faith is an aspect of that Spirit. Number two, prophecies. We can meditate on Bible prophecies. Seeing how Jehovah fulfilled the prophecies in the past, how every word that He spoke came true, strengthens our faith for what He has promised in the future. It's not too good to be true. It's guaranteed to be true. And we'll be reminding ourselves of that. Number three, examples. We can study examples of faith. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 said, we have a great crowd of witnesses surrounding us. And really, the closer, the better for us. So we can look for ways, as we examine accounts in the Bible and in our publications, that they strengthen their faith and then demonstrated their faith. And then we can imitate their faith. That's similar with our fourth point, meetings. Attend congregation meetings. Not only is faith discussed at our meetings, but also we associate with those who have strong faith, and we are able to be mutually encouraged through that association. And fifth, preach to others. It is amazing how strengthening the faith of another person will strengthen our own. So these five things will help us to extinguish our doubts as we strengthen our faith. If we turn to Jesus' words at Matthew chapter 24, we can see what counts is not how well a person started as a disciple, or like Peter, whether we've had momentary weaknesses of faith, and we all have. That's Matthew chapter 24, verse 13. In weaknesses of faith, some of us have got our feet wet, some of us have been up to our neck, none of us have been over our head, or we wouldn't be here. But what really matters is what Jesus said here in verse 13. But the one who has endured to the end will be saved. Jesus said what counts is the finish, that we finish the race. And if we always strengthen our faith, we will have the courage to endure to the finish in the race for life. Well, what have we learned from this symposium? To be courageous and very strong, we must avoid what weakens courage and pursue what strengthens it. Throughout the symposium, we have watched Brother and Sister Matthews and their family with their various challenges. You might be surprised, though, that one member of the family has had a really particularly hard time with courage. For this family member, it's been a lifelong battle. Who is it? Well, in the final dramatization of the series, notice how this person was helped by the very things discussed in this symposium.
Next, we have Brother Ben Matthews with us. Brother Matthews, you've been able to raise a family, serve as an elder, and pioneer for many years. What a good example of faith and courage.
Thank you, Brother Nicoletti. But truthfully, courage isn't something that comes easy to me. I have to keep working on it.
Why is that?
Well, I remember years ago when my wife, Abby, became very ill. She was in the hospital for months while I cared for our newborn son and young daughter. I didn't know if she would ever recover. I prayed and prayed, and it appeared as if nothing changed. I could feel my faith beginning to crack and give way to doubt. I even started doubting Jehovah's promises for the future.
So what changed that?
A friend stepped in at the right time. He encouraged me when I was home alone to read David's words at Psalm 27. At first, I didn't want to, but eventually I did. And something about those words touched my heart. You see, like a plant deprived of water, I was starving my faith. So I kept reading and meditating on those words in Psalm 27. And eventually, my doubts began to melt away.
But as you mentioned, Brother Matthews, that was decades ago. But you said courage is something that you're continuing to work on.
Well, for much of my life, I've had to help other people be courageous. But recently, I found out that soon I will go blind. Between this and not being able to do as much in the congregation as I used to, well, I could feel those doubts creeping up again. I think it's easier to help others be courageous. You'll be able to meet any challenge. Jehovah is my light and my salvation. Jehovah helped the apostles, and he's going to help us. No matter the response, you made Jehovah happy today. It's harder to be courageous for yourself.
We empathize with you, Brother Matthews. Can you tell us what you're doing right now to build courage?
Absolutely. Here's my prescription. Regular prayer and study. Application of the Bible's guidance. Attending as many meetings as I can. And of course, preaching to others about our hope.
That's a very good prescription. Is there a particular scripture that has meaning for you right now?
Right now, it's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. It says, "Moreover, without faith, it is impossible to please God well, for whoever approaches God must believe that he is and that he becomes the rewarder of those earnestly seeking him." So even if I lose my eyesight, Brother Nicoletti, I will continue to seek Jehovah with my family and my eyes of faith.
Thank you, Brother Matthews, for being such a good example of courage.
From this video, we see the need to strengthen our faith is not just for those who are young or are new in the truth, but for all of us. Even experienced Christians must strengthen their courage and maintain it. Like Brother Matthews, each of us can strengthen our courage by strengthening our confidence in Jehovah. This symposium discussed several courage strengtheners: hope, thanksgiving, the field ministry, good associations, personal study, and faith. Why not select one that fills our particular need and give it special attention? Whether we're new or a long-time witness, let's be determined to replace any attitudes or activities that weaken courage with ones that will strengthen it.
Thank you, brothers, for sharing that practical counsel from the 27th Psalm. May we be determined, then, to pursue the things that strengthen courage, especially when facing trials.